Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Amen. We are going to spend some time together today studying God's Word. And so here at Westview, we do invite you to bring your Bibles with you to worship. If you have brought those with you, I would invite you to get those out now. If you need a Bible, I would love to provide one for you into this new year. So feel free to grab. Let me know if you need a Bible to bring. If you have the app on your phone, that works too. Or if you want to borrow one over in the Welcome Center area, information area, grab that as well. But here at Westview, we open our passages. We read the passages together. We leave these passages open as we study them together this morning. So you see here on the screen, we're going to be in the book of Matthew. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, so go all the way through all the Old Testament books, all those minor prophets with the different names, and you're going to find Matthew. But if you find Mark, Luke, John, back up just a little bit. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 2, so second chapter, starting in verse 1. And we have been through the season of Advent now. Now we're in the season of Christmas, and through this time, we have been considering the great gift that God is bringing into this world, and that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we've talked about the gift that God is bringing, we thought about this idea that it is better to give than to receive. And so we've turned that around a little bit and said, okay, as disciples of Jesus, what gifts might we bring? What gifts can we bring as disciples of Jesus? And so we studied passages including people like Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and angels and the shepherds, and talked about different gifts that we can bring, like the gifts of obedience or humble submission, the gifts of trust and witness. And just a couple nights ago, we were here on Christmas Eve and we talked about the great gift that God brings in Jesus and how the world did not recognize Him. The world did not His own did not receive Him, but to all who brought the gift of receiving, we were given the right to become children of God. And so we're going to continue that forward, this idea of bringing gifts, one more week here as we look at the scripture passage here in Matthew chapter 2. So we're going to go right to it this morning. We already prayed for our time of study. So let's read this passage together. Follow along, please, as I read it aloud. Starting here, Matthew chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. Listen with me to the word of the Lord. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen. So the thing is, we just don't know. We just don't know. And the crazy thing with that is that it doesn't stop us from from putting together and presenting limitless depictions. So you have children's Christmas programs with cute little kids in oversized bathrobes and paper crowns on their heads. Or if you have a more upscale production, you have some sort of glimmering, shiny linens of sorts, and maybe even with glitter on it. And we have our nativity scenes on the fireplace mantle. Typically there's stately, serious, somber-looking fellows with long faces and equally long beards with formal tall headwear and robes upon robes that are flowing, and they carry what look to be heavy and expensive gifts and maybe even a camel thrown in as well. And then there's lyrics to a Christmas carol, which I will go on record, I'm a little nervous to say this, but I will go on record to say one of the more dreadful Christmas carols, in my opinion. If you disagree, we can talk about that later, but Three Kings from Orient, following yonder star, yes? And then there's Christmas cards with vivid pictures of color, and including often at times different color skin for the different foreign travelers. And then don't even get me started on the names. Did you know these names for these three come from a Greek manuscript 500 years after the birth of Jesus? All of a sudden these names appear. Right, the names of Caspar and Melchior and Balthazar. And honestly, I don't know if that's the right way to pronounce them. I don't care, because those are just the Western names that are given. There's Western names that are different than the Syrian names that are given, which are different than the Ethiopian names that are given. And those are even different than the Armenian names that are given. And so perhaps the only thing that is consistent in depicting the Magi is that there's three of them. There's always three, yes? Which, of course, has absolutely no confirmation in Scripture. Besides the fact that there's three gifts, and so three of this and three of that must be three. It's presumed. And that's just it. So much of this is all presumption, because we just don't know. So despite Christmas programs, and despite nativity scenes, and despite Christmas carols, we simply do not know that much details about the Magi. Because all we get are these 12 verses. This is it. And even within these 12 verses, did you notice that there's only 8 of the verses that either directly or indirectly reference the Magi? And so within these few verses, Matthew here is woefully short on sharing particulars. And so we humans, we do what comes natural. We fill in the blanks. We come up with backgrounds and homelands. We come up with dress and race. We come up with occupations and numbers, and we solidify them with our nativity scenes and our decorated ornaments and our song lyrics. And it's not just us like you and me, but it's historians and even the best theologians. They do research, and even they have different opinions and different variety of ideas when it comes to the Magi. We just don't know. But there is one thing we can be certain of. There is one thing we absolutely know about the Magi. They are seeking Jesus. They bring the gift of seeking. And that's the final gift that we want to consider bringing in this season, Advent now over, now into Christmas, and a new year almost upon us. We want to bring the gift of seeking. So before we go a little further, let's do a little check-in on this interesting Sunday that's always between. This one is smack dab between Christmas and New Year. So help me out. I'm just curious a little bit here. How many of us in this season, how many of us went and bought gifts, whether we bought from the new Target in town or we shopped online, or we went to our favorite retailer in the East Village. How many of us bought gifts? Show of hands? Yeah, okay, quite a few hands. Okay, how many of us over the last couple of days have received presents, either from family or friends or a coworker or a family member? It could be as simple as a pack of gum, or it could be, you know, the preschool art project, or it could be as elaborate as a diamond necklace. Ooh, so pretty. How many of us received some gifts? Yeah, okay, very good. Okay, how many of us made Christmas cookies or some other type of Christmas goodies? Okay, I see a lot of hands, and I did not get one invite to taste test. Seriously, next year, right? How many of us maybe got together as a family, whether it's our own immediate family in our own home, or we traveled a little ways, or we had to travel a long ways, or we had family come to us? Anybody, or get together with school? You know, we had school parties or staff parties, company parties, those sorts of things. Okay, very good. So last question then is this. We've done a lot of these things in this season. How many of us did we seek Jesus? Did we intentionally, you know, seek out the whole reason for this entire thing called Christmas? So amidst all the gifts and all the goodies and all the gatherings, did we seek Jesus? See, the reality is that we know so very little about the Magi. But I love the one simple, single thing that arises from this passage. The one thing we do know about these Magi is that they are looking for Jesus. They are wanting to come and worship Jesus. They are bringing the gift of seeking. Now, we don't know who they are. Where Matthew is very silent and sparse on details, history and tradition has been happy to fill in. But it still leaves us with a question, you know, who are the Magi? What exactly is a Magi? Some would say they're kind of like priests. Some say they were part of the original sort of the Median tribe, which got engrafted into the Persian Empire. If you're familiar at all with the Old Testament, especially the book of Daniel, you may have heard of the Medes and Persians before. So some say, well, they're priests in that realm, or they were priests that were advisors to the king of Persia. And some say, well, no, not so much political, but they were more priests of a religious sort, and that sacrifices could only be made in their presence. And some say, well, they weren't so much priests, but they were teachers, and they were instructors, and some say, no, they were more philosophers, and they were knowledgeable in medicine and in natural sciences. And some say, well, they were watching the stars, and so they obviously must have been astrologers. And actually, later depiction of the Magi, years later, some were not quite as kind to the Magi. Some of them would call them fortune tellers and magicians and even sorcerers. Besides that last little part, I think what we find is probably a little bit of truth in all of that. We don't know exactly. The point is, we don't exactly know. Matthew gives us no background here, and so much of the tradition of who the Magi are comes from tradition. And even though it comes from people who are, I'm just going to say, way smarter than me, and probably way smarter than you in these matters as well, all of this is still tradition nonetheless. But I would offer this morning that it might be actually a good thing that these Magi can be anyone, that we don't know who they are, that they are nameless and their backgrounds are beyond vague. Because when you combine that fact that we don't know who they are with the one thing that we do know about them, I think it provides for us a powerful faith lesson for us this morning, and that's this: that anyone can seek Jesus. Matthew here does a most interesting thing at the beginning of this gospel. The one thing we do know about the Magi is they're not Jews. And so they're Gentiles. Matthew is a Jew. He was a disciple of Jesus. And his gospel is overwhelmingly believed to be written to a Jewish audience, a Jewish community, likely a very early Jewish church. With all those Old Testament references and fulfillments, we believe that Matthew is trying to tie the Old Testament together with this New Testament, with the early church. And so Matthew is a Jew, and he's writing to Jews. And yet, who are the very first people who come and worship and are seeking after Jesus? Gentiles. Not Herod, who's got an interesting background we can explore another time. Not the chief priests or the teachers of the law of the people, it says, who seem to know enough to know that this child is born in Bethlehem, but the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they did not leave Jerusalem and head down the 5 miles to go to Bethlehem, did they? Herod certainly didn't go on his own, did he? He told the Magi to go. The only people who make that journey, the only people who are seeking Jesus here are those Magi, those Gentiles, are the only ones who are seeking Jesus in this passage. And I think this faith lesson that anyone can seek Jesus, I think that gives us two important teaching moments. One teaching moment that this gives to us is a teaching moment about the message of inclusion. Matthew is a Jew. He's writing to Jews. And yet the very first people who he names that are seekers of Jesus are Gentiles. And I think that's a powerful reminder to this early church, this early Christian community. I think it's a powerful reminder for us as well. For us to have open hearts and open minds about who might be included in the seeking of Jesus. Who might come through these doors? Who would be welcome into the church, into the family of God, to seek Jesus, regardless of age or race or socioeconomic standing or other human classifications that we are too quickly putting and labeling and categorizing on people? Anyone can come and seek Jesus. I think the other teaching point in this, is that when we say anyone, that includes you. And it includes me. It includes you and me, whoever we are. Whoever the world has prescribed us to be. You know how the world just wants to heap those labels on us ever so quickly. And whoever the world has prescribed us to be, whether it's true or not, regardless of that, you and I, we can all seek Jesus. Whether we are the star athlete or the bench warmer, whether we are the all-state vocalist or the one who makes a joyful noise to the Lord, whether we are the white-collar CEO or we are the corraler of shopping carts at Hy-Vee, whether we are the graduate of many institutions or a high school dropout, whoever we are does not matter. Anyone can seek Jesus. The other thing we don't know about the Magi is where they are from. Matthew gives us one vague detail about the Magi. He says they are from the east. Can you tell me exactly where that is? If I would say to you, well, that person, they are from the east coast. Where? Are we talking Maine east coast? Are we talking Jersey east coast? Are we talking Hilton Head, Myrtle Beach east coast? Are we talking Miami Beach east coast? Because those are all very, very different, yes? But he says the Magi are from the east. Okay, so what is this? Well, again, some say that's Mesopotamia. Is that helpful? Not so much. That's like Iraq, but not just Iraq, but also parts of Turkey and Syria and Iran, so a very large area. Others say, no, it's more like the old Babylon area where Baghdad is today. That was kind of where they were from. And some say, you know, the Magi, no matter how many they are, they actually came from different countries and different areas, and they had different races. And so out east, we don't know exactly where that is. But regardless of where that is, we get the sense in this passage that they have traveled a great distance. If indeed, let's imagine that they are from Babylon, so kind of from that Baghdad area. Depending on what route they would take, and they could take different routes as we see they return a different route. Depending on what route they would take, we're talking 600 or maybe even 900 miles. And so that's like journeying from Des Moines to San Antonio, Texas, or Des Moines to Knoxville, not Iowa, Tennessee. Right? This is you're talking 600, 800, 900 miles. And yes, during the preparation of this message, I started to think of that song from the roller skating rinks. But I would walk 500 miles and I... It was in my head all day long. It's going to be in your head today too, I promise you. A long distance they travel. It took them likely months. They didn't just get on a flight. There was no direct flight to San Antonio. They diligently traveled to seek and worship Jesus. We don't know where these magi come from. But I think that that also gives us another important faith lesson. That anyone, as we said a moment ago, from anywhere can seek Jesus. It does not matter where we are from. It does not matter how far we must travel. And you can think about that in physical terms. We can think about that in you know, we only live that far away, right? Or maybe we live 500 miles away and have to walk a long distance. You know, it does not matter if we're physically distant, but also we can think about that in a spiritual sense as well. Well, I don't feel very close to Jesus. I've been walking a long ways in the opposite way of Jesus for a long time. Maybe we feel a great spiritual distance. Maybe we feel close to Jesus and we feel close to Him and it's a short distance, but maybe it would take many steps and many miles to come. See, friends, it does not matter where we are. It doesn't matter where we are at. It doesn't matter where we're coming from. It does not matter what the road behind us looks like. It does not matter how many steps are ahead. Anyone from anywhere, regardless of where we are at in life, anyone from anywhere can seek Jesus. And the other thing here that we don't know about the Magi is what they did or they did not know. They claim, Matthew says, they claim to see a star in the east. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I've read a lot of it and studying for this message, there's a lot of ink that has been spilled about what star was it? What comet was it? Well, this comet came in this year. Well, that comet came in this year. At this time, this planet could be seen. Lots of ink has been spilled. You know what? It's all inconclusive at the end. And it's not really our focus this morning. But they claim to see the star of the east. And for them, these magi, they know enough that when they see the star, something is up. Something is up enough that they would walk 500 miles to go to Jerusalem. And they would come to the palace of a guy named King Herod, and they would approach King Herod, and they would drop this line on him where they would say, "Hey, we have come to worship the one who has been born King of the Jews." Can we appreciate the not-so-subtle slap in the face that this is? It's the Magi. They know something. But they maybe don't even know how terribly upsetting this is to Herod. We do. Matthew tells us, Herod is stirred up. He's disturbed. And when Herod is disturbed, he's the kind of leader then that everything else starts shaking up in the city as well. And Herod gets worked up and he calls not his chief priests, not his teachers of the law, you see, the people's chief priests and the people's teachers of the law and says, "What's going on here? What's happening?" And he uses the word, very interesting, the Christ. Not king, but the Christ. And he wants to know what's going on here. And these teachers of the law, these chief priests, they seem to know enough to know about what's going on, and they direct and said, "This is going to happen in Bethlehem." But even Herod himself, not going to venture there. The Magi, they come and they know enough to ask the question. They know enough to get to Jerusalem. They know enough to ask the question here. And then they've been following the star. And even these Magi, though, I just wonder, did they even have a clue about what that question, what that ask would bring about? Did they even have a clue of what they were asking about? I mean, you get a sense that they're wealthy, right? They have treasures here. That's one thing we know about them. We get a sense that they're in awe or they know something big is going on because they bring out these treasures, right? Because gold is for a king and incense is for deity and myrrh is for someone, it's a spice for someone who's an anointing, someone who's going to die. So something's up here. They know something's going on, but did the Magi fully understand? Could they have imagined in that moment that the one that they're asking about is Emmanuel, God in the flesh? the Son of God who has come to be with us. Could they imagine that they're seeking the one who is the Savior of the world, the Lord of all, the Prince of Peace, the Great I Am, the Messiah who takes away the sin of the world and who gives the gift of life everlasting? Do you suppose they had a clue? I'm going to go on a hunch and say probably not. I don't think so. Not at all. And yet these magi are still seeking Him. They're still seeking to come to worship Him even though they don't know all the things. And I think that is a third powerful faith lesson for you and me this morning, that the magi, they don't know all the things and yet they are still seeking Jesus. And what that says to me and what I hope that says to you as well is that I don't have to know all the things about Jesus in order to seek Jesus. In fact, I seek Jesus because I don't know everything about Jesus. And so whether having a little bit of knowledge or a lot of knowledge, I can still seek Jesus. And even if I don't know everything, I can still come and worship Him. The Magi, whoever they are, wherever they are from, whatever they do or do not know, they express, this is our desire. We have come to worship the one who has been born, King of the Jews. We've come to worship Him. They tell Herod this in verse 2, and it comes around in full in verse 11. They worship Jesus, even though their understanding of Jesus is not in full. And you know, I can do the same thing. And you can do the same thing. That even though we don't fully know Jesus, even though we don't fully understand Him, even though we might not get it, we can still seek Him and worship Him. I mean, the great thing is that my partial understanding, your partial understanding about who Jesus is, doesn't change who Jesus is as King, Messiah, Lord, Savior. Friends, we don't know a lot about the Magi. But the one thing we do know is this, is that they bring the gift of seeking. Whoever they are, wherever they're from, whatever they did or did not know, they seek Jesus. And so friends, any one of us, whoever we are, can seek Jesus. Any one of us, wherever we are at, can seek Jesus. Any one of us, whatever we do or do not know, we can seek Jesus. So Westview, will this be the gift that we would bring in this Christmas season, as we close out this year, as we head into the new year? Will we bring the gift of seeking? The gift of seeking Jesus. As we wrap up this morning, I want to challenge us to consider that for a moment. That regardless of who we are, wherever we are at in our journey, or whatever we do or do not know in this moment, consider with me this thought. Will I bring the gift of seeking? And if I bring the gift of seeking, what will I seek of Jesus in this year ahead? What will I seek of Jesus? Will I seek more knowledge about who Jesus was and is through Scripture reading, through Bible studies, through podcasts or other ways of faith formation? Will I seek a more connected relationship with Jesus through prayer and conversation? Will I seek to worship and glorify Jesus through more regular and consistent worship attendance? Will I seek fellowship in and through Jesus by investing in the life of other Christ followers and allowing them to shape and influence who I am? Will I seek to more closely mirror the way of Jesus, to love as He loved, to do as He did? Will I seek to serve in Jesus' name, whether that's near or far, being His hands and feet in this world? will I seek to give of myself sacrificially, laying down my life in the example of Jesus so that others might be lifted up? Or will I seek something altogether different and yet seeking Jesus all the same? Before we continue on in worship this morning, what I want to do is I want to just give us a moment of silence here, something we do here at Westview every so often. We're just going to invite us to contemplate that, to consider that, to pray about that. So what I want us to do is just take a moment to bow our heads, close our eyes, and pray about that. What is the Holy Spirit laying on my heart even now in this moment about how I am being invited to bring the gift of seeking into this next year? How am I being invited to seek Jesus? Take a moment or two of silence and then we'll continue on in worship. Let's pray this together. How am I being invited to seek Jesus today, tomorrow, next week, into this next year, into all the days that the Lord gives to me? I want to invite you to continue to consider that today, and as the Spirit continues to lay that on our hearts, how am I being invited to bring the gift of seeking? Because what we find in this passage, we do not know a whole lot about these magi. We don't know who they are. We don't really know where they're from. We really don't know what they did or did not know in that moment. But we find that they bring the gift of seeking. That it does not matter what I do or do not know. It does not matter where I've been. It does not matter who I am. But I can bring that gift of seeking Jesus. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.